remember, there is no chapter and verse and the in scripture the way it was written. So we come off the Thanksgiving prayer of Paul, and the encouragement and the correcting, because somebody has somebody or something. It could have been somebody maliciously telling the Thessalonica church that that's the day of the Lord had already come. It could have been a misinterpretation of the word of something that was read in Paul's letter. It could have been anything, but they were troubled with the fact that they might have missed the day of the Lord, the parousia of Christ. And what they were going through socially, community-wise, with all the oppression and the tribulation that the society at large was giving them, they had thought that they missed it, that they missed the return of the Lord. And this is what they are going through. But Paul writes that they are praying, and that they are being counted worthy of the Father's calling, and that they will fulfill the Lord's good pleasure and his goodness in the work of faith and with power. So this whole thing is sandwiched. The second Thessalonians 2:1 through 2:12, the sandwich between that first encouragement and that first word that they are in God's will, and know the second coming has not occurred. So he starts in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. He is attempting right now to calm their minds, calm their fears. Because whatever happened is shaking them to the core. And nobody knows how this started in the church. Paul himself doesn't even really know what started. Where did this jump off? Because when he was with them, he taught them about the day of the Lord. In his first letter, he goes into great pains about the day of the Lord. And he doesn't know either, whether it's by the Spirit, a misinterpretation of prophecy, whether by word or by letter, misrepresentation or misunderstanding by a word of prophecy or by letter. He is not saying that whatever happened was a malicious thing. He is saying there is that, well, it's a malicious because of the by Satan. But again, he's not even sure where they got this idea from. And if they got it by a letter, by an epistle, that letter was not from them. It wasn't from Silas, Paul, Timothy, or anything like that. Again, it could have been something as simple as a misunderstanding, a misinterpretation of what somebody has said, somebody has written, and even Paul in the third chapter, in 3:17, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So he even, in this second epistle, signs it, giving it authentication. I can't even talk today. So commentators, and I think even Paul himself was thinking that Second Thessalonians followed too close on the heel to somebody writing a letter and refuting what Paul has said. So Paul, right off the heels of his encouragement to the church in Thessalonica, he is encouraging, he is calming the minds and spirits of the church there, that whatever started this, whatever happened, that their troubled in spirit is not from God. In verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? Now, that idea of Antichrist. Or in the Greek, it's translated really instead of Christ. Was known throughout Judaism, and what is known throughout Christianity at the time. The biggest example and the most blaring, blatant example was of Emperor Gaius Claudius. He exalted himself and was demanded worship. He even went as far as to try to have his statue placed in the I don't think it was placed in the holy place. It might have been placed in the outer court. But he was that archetypal Antichrist. Showing himself that he is God. Calling for worship of himself rather than worship of the Father. And again, Paul reminds him, I taught you about this. And when I was still with you, I told you these things. It is natural. This stuff happens. When a body of believers have been taught something and something new comes down the pike, that what they have been taught, what they have read, becomes not suspect, but there is doubt. And really, what we have been taught is that we need the word, the written word of God, to keep us on track, to keep us in the truth. And when we hear things, when something new comes on the pike, does it match up with the Word of God? Is it mesh with the Word of God? And we always have to remember that not only do we have teachers, pastors, and prophets who tell us the Word of God, who explain the word of God, but we have Scripture. They didn't have all of Scripture. They had parts of the Gospel. They had parts of Matthew, but it wasn't compiled in a narrative. It was called the Sayings of Christ that Matthew wrote down. And the truth that Jesus told was in that gospel, was in that the Sayings of Jesus written down by Matthew. In Matthew 24. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him and privately saying, "Tell us when all these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of it, end of the age. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they would deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved." So, while they may have not have had the gospel in Matthew 24:15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Back to you, 2 Thessalonians, that again, 2:4. Well, let's back up to 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, or the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So, the great falling away. Falling away politically, falling away spiritually, must come first. And when you see that, then the day of the Lord is fast approaching. And when he's talking about this, he reminds them that he taught them about this. And in the first chapter, he reminds them of their status, their position in Christ, in God, the king, in the kingdom, that yes, it's going to be a terrible time, but they are loved. In verse 16 of this chapter, and Paul prays, "May the our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the and Father, who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace," reminding the church that the Father has loved us and given everlasting consolation and good hope by his grace. So, whatever happens, whatever comes, we all have to remember that the Father loves us, and the Father gives us consolation, and the Father gives us hope. In verse 6, And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. The only person restraining is Christ. Those things that come first will come first before the man of lawlessness and the son of destruction. So, even all this, there is a hand, there is a restraint on not only him being revealed fully, but his role in history is being restrained. In verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Again, the love of the truth, the love of the Word of God handed down to us is our safety, is our covering. And also, when the mystery of lawlessness is revealed, the son of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed. Take comfort in the fact that the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The dragon and the false prophet, which we have been studying, on Wednesday night, they are not to be feared because the Lord will consume them with the breath of his mouth, his word, and destroy the brightness of his coming. Destroy with the brightness of his coming. That is Paul reassuring and calming the fears of the church that these things do not escape the gaze of our Lord. Again, the Father has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by his grace. So even when these things are happening, even these things of of deception among, but they are happening to those who did not receive the love of the truth. We have received the love of the truth. We have that safety net, so to speak. So we do not have to fear. Paul is saying the church in Thessalonica, even they, with all the persecution that they are enduring, do not have to fear the Antichrist. In verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perished, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. We have an anchor, and that anchor is the love of the truth spoken by Christ. Excuse me. And we have a lot, the love of the written word passed down through the centuries. And that is our anchor, that we are not easily shaken. We are not easily deceived. And when we are shaken and when we are deceived, we have that anchor to hold on to, that we do not lose our salvation. Again, we are not just deceived with all that Satan, with power, signs, and lying wonders. Knowing the truth, and even when something comes contrary to that truth, we can see right through it. We can see the root of it, the root of the deception. So even that, those powers, signs, and lying wonders, just because they are a sign or just because they are a wonder, we are to think critically. We are to test the spirits to see if they are of God. And if they are not of God, we are to reject them. But we are to test those spirits. Again, we are not the church in Thessalonica, are not among those who perish, because the church has received the love of the truth, and that they will be saved. Yeah. So again, this is Paul encouraging the truth, the church, that they are in right standing with God. And again, those who do not love the truth. And for this reason, in verse 11, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, and they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, I remember Pastor Ozzy, speaking of his prayer that he prays to the Lord, Lord, please don't let me be deceived. Let me see the truth now. And even Pipet said that he would rather be chastened now than continue being deceived. The Lord will correct us. And thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you. And again, this whole idea of the lawless one, the Antichrist. John says that there are many Antichrists. And anyone who does not confess that Jesus came in the flesh, died on the cross, and was raised to the presence of the Father is Antichrist. Because that is not the truth. And many have come denying that. And that is not the truth. They do not have the love of truth. And for that reason, I'm not going to say the forfeit salvation, but with that stance that they do not love the truth, that they might be saved. There is that chance that there is that possibility of loving the truth that would usher in salvation for those who are perishing. And really, again, this reason God will send strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that that delusion that we believe the lie of the Antichrist, we believe the lie of that of the man of sin and the son of perdition, is, I guess, frightening. Because those people live under strong delusion sent by God. And Lord, I just pray that anybody who is believing the lie, and I think the lie is what Satan told Eve in the garden. That one, God is holding out on you, and if you partake of this fruit, you will surely not die. That is the lie. And I pray that those who are living that lie and believe that lie, that they come to the love of truth and not be condemned with those who do not believe the truth and take pleasure in an unrighteousness. So again, even John says, many antichrists have come, many instead of Christ have come. But by the word of God. And the Spirit of God protect us from following the unrighteous Antichrist, the unrighteous instead of Christ. I think that explains Antichrist better than Antichrist, the instead of Christ. We want to, and it's in our nature, it's in our fallen nature, we want to do things without doing the hard work. Pastor Ozzy says it's hard that's a hard that becomes easy, and we want the easy that becomes hard. And in that, Paul is encouraging the church, giving substance, giving truth to the church so they do not be deceived, that they will not be carried away in deception. And he's encouraging them to love the truth. And in that safety net of the truth of God, there is salvation. So again, after the encouraging word of chapter 1, after his prayer for this church in chapter 1, he, as a way of bookends, he, in chapter 13, says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Bringing the church back to full center, that they are loved by the Lord because they've been chosen by God from the beginning for salvation and sanctification, and by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Coming back to that center of being loved by God and being chosen by God, we wind up, or we find ourselves in the center of that. And in the center of that, we are not easily shaken. We are not easily deceived, because we know God loves us, and because we love him because he first loved us, we love his truth, and we seek out his truth, and we compare what we hear, what we experience, with that truth of the gospel, whether it's from the Lord or not. And again, he called us by our gospel, by Paul's letters, and by Paul's life, reflecting the truth of that gospel. Again, it is not merely the fact that we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that we live our lives according to the gospel of Jesus Christ for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are living for. We're living that Jesus Christ and the Father would receive glory by our lives. And in verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, either by word or our epistle. Paul established a sound, godly foundation for that church. And he's saying, hold fast. That is the truth that you were taught. Not only the truth in word, but the truth in how Paul, Silas, and Timothy lived their lives while they were with them. And that this will bring us up to the second reason for second Thessalonians. The idleness of some in the church who are bringing a bad testimony to the church and who are not following the evangelist Paul and Silas and Timothy's example of working. Although they had the right to not work, to have the church support them. But Paul never used that so-called right. He always, and his team always worked and never lived off the charity of the church in any particular city. In verse 16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. It is God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord who is working out our salvations and who is able to establish our hearts in every good work and word. It is the grace of God that we stand and that we live and we have our being. And praise God for that. And again, I told you, Andrea, you should read that. Excess, but I want to quote something. When we are all wondering about Antichrist, who is it? F.F. Bruce writes that as for possible further application, the best policy be for everyone who studies the matter to ask the question which came to the lips of the disciples in the upper room when they were told that one of them was a traitor. Lord, is it I? The spirit of Antichrist will be strengthened if Christians allow themselves to be seduced by it and foster in their hearts. It will be diminished and weakened if they individually watch for every manifestation of it within themselves. Cast it out and wage increasingly war against it, confessing Jesus as Lord and Christ, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. I thought that would, you know, went a long way to disarming that spirit of Antichrist, that spirit instead of Christ. We always have to ask the Lord, is it me? And it is said of Judas, he was the son of perdition. He was the son of destruction. And we all have to ask ourselves and ask the Lord, am I operating in the spirit of Antichrist? If we don't do that, we don't have the love of truth. So, again, I'm encouraging myself. I'm encouraging Andrea, which I know loves the truth, and I am encouraging all who will listen to this podcast. Love the truth of the Lord, and that keeps us safe. And with that, I'm done.